According to Foreign Policy magazine, the year 2007 will be remembered as the beginning of the cyber wars. In late April, cyber attacks emanating from Russia crippled some of Estonia's infrastructure. And then in June, Pentagon officials accused the Chinese military of hacking into a Defense Department computer network. Joining me now to discuss cyber wars for the second part of today's Underreported is Andrew McPherson, director of the Technical Analysis Group of Justice Works at the University of New Hampshire. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How would you define a cyber war?
Well, I think you want to be really careful when defining cyber war. We see cyber attacks all the time. I mean, those ads on TV about phishing attacks, right, where someone sends you a email that's got something attached to it, and before you know it, your bank account is being drained of funds. But what would really be a cyber war or a cyber attack in the context of a country against a country? And so when I'm thinking about that type of situation, I think about, okay, they want to be able to solve some sort of political activity with their cyber actions, and that it's probably a means to an end. So there has to be some sort of political element for me attached to it.
Does it always involve hacking?
Not necessarily. There's all sorts of different attacks. It could be changing information. It could be putting information that's wrong into a system. There's all sorts of different ways that countries in a sophisticated way could use information attacks to further their political ends.
Were Western experts caught off guard by the cyber attacks that hit Estonia?
I don't know.
I read that, and from
what I've read, there was an initial surge in reporting about Estonia. Everyone was worried it was the Russians. The Estonians went on record saying it was these attacks had emanated from Russia. But when the analysis was done, if you start to look at the after reporting, a lot of these attacks were just coming from all compromised computers all over the world, some in the United States. So it seems to me that the people who were launching these attacks were probably disgruntled or were some sort of supporters of this issue that started with the war memorial in Estonia. But there's nothing that I've seen that indicates that these came from Russian government systems or anything along those lines.
But the fact that it was coming from all over the world would suggest that it was a rather sophisticated attack.
Yeah, but not that much. I mean, if you think about it, these botnets that are available to hacker users right now, what a botnet is essentially a network of compromised computers. So you would knock over a box if you're a hacker, take control of that computer, and then attach it to your network, and then this becomes your botnet or robot net. Using that robot net, which can be any size, 10, 20 computers, 1,000 computers, 60,000 computers. I've heard of some systems, botnets over 3 million computers. You can use those to attack other systems, sending spam emails, making requests to their web pages, whatever you want to do. So it could have been a small number of users using one of these botnets, leveling a lot of attacks on the Estonian networks.
Some people have called it the world's first full-scale cyber invasion.
I would absolutely disagree with that contention.
But how prepared was the Estonian government for an attack of that sort, and what sectors of Estonia did it hit?
Well, it hit the banking, finance, government services. So it seems that there may have been some interest in hitting more infrastructure targets. And that raises a good point, is that what would you attack if you were going to launch a strategic cyber attack? Would you launch a transportation? Would you attack the transportation system? Would you attack the banking and finance system? Where would you actually attack? The governments around the world are looking at how to defend against these type of attacks. Even India, Pakistan have developed their own computer emergency response teams, either modeled after ours or with experience based upon the U.S. computer emergency response team. So countries are aware of these type of attacks. But if you look at the threats that are on their radar, physical bombs, industrial accidents, those types of things, I definitely think cyber is lower down the list of government priorities around the world.
Well, you said that this one wasn't as bad as the media made it sound, but what kind of damage did it cause, and how long did the recovery take?
Well, you got to think about cyber attacks a little bit differently than conventional attacks. So when you hit something with a kinetic device, like a bomb, you hit a building, it shatters, and then that building is destroyed, and then it takes a long time to bring that building back online. You have to fix the pipes around it. You have to clear all the stuff out by machinery. There's a lot of physical effort that takes place. With a cyber attack, it's more like maybe a fabric, the network that kind of tears, and so then the fabric comes apart for a while, but then you shut your computer down, you reboot it with a fresh copy of what you need to have on there, and you can sort of sew it back together. So the recovery and response often does not take as long in a cyber attack as it would in a physical attack. My understanding in Estonia was it was a couple of weeks before they were, you know, completely back online and had made some sort of efforts to make sure that the types of attacks that were occurring would not be able to occur over a longer period of time.
So to explain cyber wars, we need to use a very different kind of vocabulary than we use when we discuss conventional warfare?
Well, I would say that no one really knows how strategic cyber attacks are going to play into conventional warfare, because obviously they would be a subcomponent of it, or you would try and combine the effects of the cyber attack with the conventional warfare. I'm sure we're going to talk about China. I'm sure we're going to talk about...
We were just about to talk about China.
As we move in there. And so those countries and the United States and other nations are looking at how we can combine the use of cyber with our conventional attacks. So in the, believe it was the last Gulf War, we were sending email messages. It was reported in the media that we were sending email messages to our military, to the Iraqi military commanders who had accounts saying, don't use your chemical weapons or else there would be dire consequences from that. On the other side. So that's sort of, you know, a propaganda use. But how do you use them in a strategic sense to where they can really affect a significant delay, a significant disruption, maybe even a significant some sort of disruptive or long-term destruction of materials through cyber? That's still anyone's guess. I think that governments are still working on figuring out how that's going to happen.
I'm glad you mentioned China, because in June, Pentagon officials accused the Chinese military of hacking into a computer network used by top aides to U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates.
I think the media reported that President Bush was thinking about bringing that up with the Chinese leaders when he met with them.
But how did the Pentagon even notice the network was being hacked into?
Well, the military, as is the practice of anyone who generally runs networks in a business environment, has firewalls, has monitoring, all sorts of other ways that they watch what is going on with their systems. When computers want to talk with each other, they use protocols. It's like knocking on a door. You know, you knock on a door, someone comes on the other side and says, who is it? Well, computers do that same type of thing. So you can know who is knocking at your door because IP addresses, other identifying information is given by the computers when they make those type of knocks.
And would it be clear that the Chinese or someone in China was doing the knocking?
Well, I would say no. I mean, that is one of the things about computer attacks that is so difficult, is when you're first investigating an attack, you don't know whether it's a teenager in the, you know, working down in his basement, or whether it's a sophisticated organization that is attacking you. In fact, I think that, if I recall, way back in Massachusetts, there was an attack that took down part of the Boston Logan's infrastructure for the airport for a period of time, and people were pretty worried it was terrorists or some other type of threat, and it did turn out to be just some kid who was fooling around with his computer and flip the wrong switches.
Is that what the Chinese said happened in the case of Robert Gates?
Well, that's maybe a whole other...
Just some kid in Shanghai playing around?
Yeah, maybe that's a whole other show to talk about that. The Chinese definitely have an understanding of network information technologies. They have a lot of people who are graduating. I think they graduate more engineers every year than we do here in America who are looking at computer information technologies. They've developed cyber units. They're starting to integrate those cyber units into their military. They're developing National Guard-type units. And they're really thinking about leapfrog technologies that will allow them. They know that they can't build enough tanks, planes, and so on to get in front of us. Our military is 5, maybe even 10 years ahead of everyone else in the world. So they're playing catch-up by missile, other asymmetric technologies, including computer network attack technologies.
So to some degree, this is the updated version of germ and chemical warfare.
Well, maybe.
You know, to even the playing field when you just don't have as many planes and tanks and ships.
Yeah, I wouldn't make that direct comparison for a couple of reasons. Number one is that once germs and chemicals get out there, they sort of can take out everyone, where computer network attacks to some extent can be more targeted, more precise than can those type of attacks.
Are you suggesting that the Chinese did it? Because didn't they deny that they had made that attack on the Pentagon?
I'm certainly not suggesting that. I'm just saying it's very difficult.
Is James Bond out there? Can we put him on the case?
Pardon me?
Can we put James Bond on this case?
Yeah. we certainly need a lot of computer James Bonds, and they probably don't look as good as the actors in the movies.
But interesting, bring up James Bond. He always had these people like Goldfinger and Dr. No who worked separately. They were independent of governments. And that sort of thing could happen here, couldn't it?
I don't know. I've always believed from my years working in this area that you can't just have 10 terrorists working in a pizza shop during the day who are going to take down the internet at night. Our infrastructure is very robust. We have the most technical, smartest people working in this area in the world, living here in America and working on our networks. And so I think that the tooth-to-tail ratio, that's a military term for, you know, we have 100 troops, airborne troops up front. It takes maybe 500 guys in the back supporting them. That tooth-to-tail ratio for computer is actually rather large as well. I think that if you're going to have guys up front in the attack on the computers, you need to have a pretty large support network on the back end, paying those guys, figuring out all the infrastructure that needs to be attacked. When you think about it, if you're going to launch these cyber attacks, it's a lot like physical attacks. And number one, you got to figure out what the center of gravity is that you're going to attack the enemy, right, to get your desired effect. And then you got to be able to attack that, figure out the ways to attack it. And then after you attack it, you got to figure out your damage assessment on it. And then you got to figure out how to attack it again once the enemy has countered that. Because once you attack, they're going to figure out, okay, he's using this type of attack on it. Well, what am I going to do to stop that? And how am I going to figure out who it is? And what can I do back to them? So it's actually quite a sophisticated operation. It's not just pointing your computer at, you know, some target and taking it down for a short period of time. I don't think that has, you know, a lot of value. I think that it's tactical, but strategically, how could you take down computer networks for a long period of time? And that's a lot more difficult question than just a few of these, rogue actors or something.
So you're not imagining a digital Pearl Harbor and a digital World War III?
I've never believed in that term. I don't think that, a digital Pearl Harbor where the Pearl Harbor was intended to be a knockout blow for our fleet. So some type of electronic blow that would be a knockout for us is, I don't think it's within the realm of possibility at this time.
And you're saying also you don't imagine that Al-Qaeda would be able to pose
a
serious cyber threat.
About it. They're very interested in using technologies, but right now there's clear factual evidence that they're using cyber technologies for propaganda, recruitment, fundraising, training, and targeting information packages. So they've already got sort of a set of tools that they're using cyber for. Would they like to use it? Yes. Is there discussions of this on the web, cyber jihad? Yes. Have we seen any of those type of attacks in the open sources, in the media? No, we haven't seen those types of attacks.
But there are attacks on facilities like the Los Alamos National Laboratory every day, aren't there?
Sure. There are computer, just like there are computer attacks on banks and every other type of infrastructure every single day, because there are bad people out there who are interested in rolling those systems over.
And there are people asking me to give them my password and my Social Security number. I delete those requests, but I guess enough people don't.
There are a lot of people who fall prey. Even my wife on occasion has fallen prey to one of those type of emails that comes in that looks real. And so the best policy is just delete all that stuff, especially, you know, if it's not from your family and friends, and even sometimes if it is from your family and friends, just delete it.
And if it's from the son of a former dictator offering you a couple of $1 million?
No, I think that's a great idea. I absolutely would think that people should
make those partnerships.
I'm not kidding. That's absolutely a terrible idea to get involved in any of those type of scams.
In September, the U.S. Air Force formed a cyberspace command. What is that represent?
Well, actually, it was reported in September, but I think it was in 2006 when they determined they were going to set up the Cyber Command. The military is huge. It runs many diverse networks. They, for a number of years, have had the JTF-GNO, Global Task Force on Computer Network Operations. The idea there is to have one set of eyes looking over intelligence and looking over response to what is going on with their massive networks that are around the world and in space. And so the Cyber Command, again, is a strategic component, right? It sits in STRATCOM, so what are the other things they do? B-52s, the other big strategic elements of our national force projection. And so I think it's a very useful and welcome addition that it's getting. I think that the allotment of people I read was something over the order of 500, where right now we probably have maybe 150 in the JTF GNO official spots, and then plus people who come over from other agencies. So this is a welcome addition. The Chinese, again, are really ramping up in this area. I think that this is an area that really needs to continue to be looked at, as there are certainly innovative ways that these technologies could be used to have, you know, limited or even more advanced capabilities for militaries.
Well, since most of the cyber infrastructure is owned by the private sector, not the government.
Yeah, in our country.
Have they started to address growing concerns about cyber warfare?
Absolutely. The inside the Department of Homeland Security, where the computer U.S. CERT facility is, they also do outreach to the community. They have what are called sharing and analysis centers. And so those sharing and analysis centers set up for each of the different critical infrastructures like water, energy, and so on. They work with the industry players to help them work on their infrastructure, pass on information that's relevant on different cyber attacks and so on. So I would say that we actually have a pretty sophisticated and helpful sharing and analysis program in the United States.
Some years back, Bill Gates predicted an end to spam by 2006. That surely hasn't happened. Is it possible to ever fully protect against cyber threats?
I don't know. It seems to me it's an arms race. Is it ever? Are we ever able to prevent against all sorts of threats? I'd say no. There are ever creative ways to attack computers. There are ever creative ways to defend computers. So we're probably just going to see an ongoing escalation. One thing that could change or sort of turn everything on its head is if we do go through some sort of major restructuring on the way our internet technologies work. Our internet technologies were not designed with security in mind years ago. They were not designed with protection in mind. They were not designed to be used for YouTube and these other technologies that are that they're being used for right now. So some sort of major engineering design there would change things. Also, maybe some sort of development in the quantum world could certainly change these things, such as if we are able ever to develop quantum computers, then all existing encryption will be useless because they'll be able to just calculate their way out of it very quickly. So there are some major changes that are sort of on the horizon, but probably we won't see those in the next 20 years anyways.
Andrew McPherson is director of the Technical Analysis Group of Justice Works at the University of New Hampshire. Thank you so much for talking with us on today's Underreported.
Appreciate it. Good luck, and make sure you lock down your computer.